Just water. It's good to be in the house of God today. Thank the Lord for it. If you come to hear a dislike the message you heard last night, you're going to be disappointed. Amen. I needed that last night. Told him when I got in the car, I said, man, nobody else got help. I did. Amen. And I'll tell you one thing we need to do is be soul winners. That's for sure. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Numbers today. I've went back and forth about what to preach, and this is just where I believe the Lord wants me to be. And I hope I help somebody today. I sure don't want to do no harm. Well, it's good to be saved. And good to be this church, too. I tell you, when this church has a good name, it says welcome, but a lot of churches, they have other names like Friendly Baptist Church, and it ain't friendly. Yeah. Amen. Or Victory Baptist Church, and they ain't got a victory, but this church is welcoming. And everything you've done just been good. Food's been great. If you have your Bibles, go ahead, if you will, stand. Numbers chapter number 3. And if I mispronounce something, forgive me. If you think I get off on my doctrine, you can meet me after service, but please don't tear me up while I'm in the pulpit. And I'll try to be right as I can be. Amen. To be intimidated, to say I'm intimidated is an understatement today. But Numbers chapter 3, verse number 17. Numbers chapter 3, verse number 17. The Bible says, these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And so we are given in here, according to that, and also in Genesis chapter 46 and verse 11, they are given in the same order. And so we find out by this that Gershon was the eldest and Kohath the middle son, and Merari the youngest son. And I want to kind of keep that thought today, and I want to preach on being on the backside, being on the backside. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for all that you do for us, and boy, how good it's been in the service already for the preachers that's preached, and just everything, the song that's sung, and Lord, it seemed like every song just give us more peace about this is what we're supposed to preach. And Lord, I want to be obedient to you today, and Lord, I can leave this place, and Lord, I can stumble, but Lord, if somebody gets some help, it'll be worth it, and I pray you just help some heart today, and just now I pray, amen, amen. You be seated, and if you will, just look out there in these verses. We're going to kind of stay in the book of Numbers for some time. But we need to look at this. And I found this one day studying about this, that not everything in the Bible, many times in the Bible, the firstborn would get the most of the lineage, unless he'd done something that offset it, he would pretty much get the most of the lineage and some of the first things. But in the case of Gershon, that doesn't seem, when you begin to read down through there, it doesn't seem to be how it is. In fact, if you look at Numbers chapter 3, verse 30, the Bible says, and the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Kohaths shall be Elizaphan, the son of Uziel, and their charge shall be the ark and the table and the candlestick and the altars and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they minister and the hanging and all the service thereof. And so we are told here about the Kohaths that they were responsible for the things that were gold in the tabernacle. Those things represented by gold, that's what they were responsible for, remembering that Kohath is the middle son. You then go down in Numbers chapter 3, verse 36. It says, and under the custody and charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and all the vessels thereof, and all that serveth thereto, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords. And we are see there that they were responsible for those things that were both gold, and some things that were silver, and some things that were brass. But so we see now the youngest son responsible not for all the things gold, but still things of great value as far as how a man would measure value. In verse 25 of the same chapter, Numbers chapter 3, verse 25, it says, and the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation shall be the tabernacle and the tent, the covering thereof, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the curtain for the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle, and by the altar round about, and the cords for it, for all the service thereof. And in this we find out not gold, and not silver, and not brass, but in fact the hangings and the cloth and all those things like that. I'll just, for sake of understanding, just all the things that were made of cloth. And that is given to the care of the Gershon and Gershonites. And even though he was the firstborn, he doesn't give the responsibility of gold or silver or brass, but of things that were cloth. And so looking at that, you could say that really Gershon would come last in the measurement of the treasures. If you looked at the treasures of the tabernacle, you would say he came sort of last. He's firstborn, but he kind of came in the last. Then if you go on to Numbers chapter 3, verse 32, I hope you'll stay with me on this. And the Bible says, "And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be the chief over the chief of the Levites, and have the oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary." Well, Numbers chapter 3, verse 32, "Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be chief over the chief of the Levites, and have the oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary." Well, I read that that's the Kohath. And so the Kohath, the middle son, are to have a direct report to the eldest son of Aaron, Eleazar, and who they're going to report to. If you then turn down to chapter 4, turn there with me, verse number 33, you'll notice this. It says, "This is the service of the families of the son of Merari, according to all their service in the tabernacle, the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron." This is the younger son of Aaron. And so they're not directly reporting directly to Eleazar, but they're reporting to the younger son there of Aaron. And that's Merari. And you say, well, that's okay, a younger son to a younger son. That kind of makes sense. But if you look at chapter 4, verse 28, "This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon, in the tabernacle of the congregation. And their charge shall be under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest." So now we have an eldest son there of the Levites, the Gershons, are reporting directly not to the eldest son of Aaron, but the younger son of Aaron, Ithamar. And I guess if you'd look at it there and kind of look at it from a perspective this morning, the Gershonites, the Gershon, would come last in tenure. Even though they were the eldest, they reported to the younger son and not directly to Aaron's oldest son. And you'd sit there and look at that and think about it. That doesn't seem quite right, but it seems like the order of God, that's the way it should be. If you continue reading, you go down to Numbers chapter 7. I appreciate your patience on this. I am going somewhere. Look at verse number 4. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 7, verse number 4, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle or the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man, according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen, and gave them unto the Levites." And of course, this was to be used in the service and the moving of the tabernacle from one location and to another. Let's look what they're given. In Numbers chapter 7, verse 9, "But unto the sons of Kohath," remember he's the what? The middle son. "Unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belongeth to them, was that they should bear it upon their shoulders." And so, of course, we know they bore the Ark of the Covenant, the most precious thing in the tabernacle. In Numbers chapter 7, verse 8, going back one verse, "And the four wagons and the eight oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest." Four wagons, and they're pulled by eight oxen, if I read my Bible correctly there. So we find the younger son has all four wagons pulled by eight oxen. If you look at chapter 7, verse 7, the Bible says two wagons and four oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service. Now, we might read that and think no big deal about it, but I was raised in the country, and when we every now and then, the 4th of July come around, they used to have a parade. Y'all have parades around here? And I don't know about you, but that's when they get out the fire trucks, and everybody gets the horses or whatever they have, and they shine them all up real pretty, and they get the tires all blacking up, and they get ready to start the parade. I got thinking about them when they start moving. Boy, those Kohites, they come out, they're bearing the Ark of the Covenant. Can you imagine all Israel when that Ark of the Covenant came out on their shoulders? Boy, they started walking. Everybody said, man, look at the services they're doing for the house of God. Look how they're bearing the Ark of the Covenant. We all know the importance of that. I'm not taking away from that. But as they walked, you know, everybody in Israel said, man, I tell you, one of those Kohaths, boy, they got a calling on their lives. Look what they're getting to do. Amen. Mary, I come by. What do they have? 4, 4, and 8. Boy, they got all hooked up them oxen. They come in. Here they come. Boy, all that lined up together. On that things, everybody knows, not only is there gold on the first one, there's gold and silver and brass all on that thing. Here they come up with the biggest crowd, the biggest, most oxen, and the most, and boy, they're lined up. And here they come. And everybody says, man, like we would us. Listen, look at that shiny fire truck. Yep. Amen. Down our way, sometimes you have the bigger city fire trucks. Sometimes they have 2 or 3, 4 of them line up. Boy, they blow them horns. Every now and then, there's a fire truck down in Fairview down our way. It's 25 years old. It ain't much to look at, but they're in the parade too. It reminds me of the Gershites. They ain't got the Ark of the Covenant. They ain't got the oxen. They ain't got all the, wagons. They got half as much. Here they are. They got their wagons. And everybody's like, yeah, I've already seen that before. Yours ain't as new. Yours ain't as shiny. You ain't got as many oxen. You don't have as many wagon. You ain't carrying the oxen. Kohites are. You're not carrying the Ark of the Covenant. We've all seen that before. I thought about those Kohaths, firstborn. Here they come. Here they come in that parade. And they come last in attention. Nobody was as focused. You can't tell me. I know human nature. You can't tell me that some of them didn't get as excited about them as they did the other two. Human nature says it just wouldn't compare to the others. Can I have your imagination a little bit on that? And so we see that the Gershonites, really, they came last in the treasure, and they came last in the tenure. If you look at them, they came last in the attention. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16, talks about when Israel turned their back on God and began to fall toward that sun god. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord and their faces towards the east, they worship the sun towards the east. By that, we get a good understanding of how the tabernacle was always, and the temple was always laid out. And it was always laid out in this way. The east, if I can preach on this today, if I can use the back doors, that's the east. The tabernacle, the opening, the curtains of the tabernacle were always on the east side. There was a north side over here. There was a south side over here. And there's a west side over there. You understand? There are three sides. But it always, 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 they put those opening curtains on the east side because you're going to worship God. You turned your back on that sun worship and you walked into that tabernacle in this direction. I want you to get a good picture of that. The same thing today. I want you to look at this. Those back doors are just like those curtains. This over here is the north side. This over here is the south side. Back over here where I'm standing is the west side. Now, we look at that. Look at Numbers chapter 3 again. Turn back there in chapter 3. I know we're reading some Bible today. I hope that's all right in church. Numbers chapter 3, look at verse 38. The Bible says, but those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Now we find out here that Moses and Aaron and all his sons, they would camp out on that side of the tabernacle. Am I right, preachers? On that side, on the east side of the tabernacle. They guarded the entrance into the tabernacle. Amen? Now, in Numbers chapter 3, verse 35, looking back a few verses, it says, and the chief of the house of the father of the families of Merari was the ruler, the son of Abihail. These shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle northward. So here they are. They camp out over on the north side. Okay, to my left, if you will, today. in Numbers chapter 3, verse 29, it says, the families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. That'd be on my right side today. So we find out them camping on the right side. So in the front side is Moses, Aaron, and his children. On the left side is Miriam and their family. On the right side are the Kohaths and their family. Oh my. Look at Numbers chapter 3, verse 23. The families of the Gershonites shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. Yes, here they are. They once again seem to be on the backside. In fact, they are on the backside of the tent. Here they are. I like to use this today. Here they are on the backside. They're not on the front side. They're not on the north side. They're not on the east side, but they're on the west side. And see, it seems again, here is that first morn as though there is no credit given whatsoever. They're last and behind everything in the tent. This helped me. It might not help nobody else. But look at Numbers chapter number 10. In Numbers chapter number 10, look with me in verse number 17. The Bible says, Numbers chapter 10, verse number 17, and the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set forward bearing the tabernacle. Verse 21, and the Kohaths set forward bearing the sanctuary, and the other did set up the tabernacle against they came. If I understand that correctly, there's somebody had to get there and start setting everything up before the Kohaths got there. Because you had to have a tabernacle to go into for that ark to set down. And so you know whose job that was? That's Gershon and Miriam. And they had to bear all those curtains and all those sockets and all those things, and it had to be set up. And no matter whenever it's time to go again, they had to take out all those things. They had to put them on their wagons. They had to head down there, and they had to get it. Where are we going to? Well, we're going about 10 miles down the road. Going to set up again. Okay, here they go. They bind everything up. They put on their wagons, and here they go down the road. Didn't matter what everybody thought about them. Didn't really matter if anybody liked their parade. That's what they had to do. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, was coming, and they had to go ahead of time and set everything up. Now, I thought about that. How important was the job? How important was the job of those two? Because, listen, the Ark of Covenant, the presence of God, could not be set up until they went ahead of time and set everything up. And instead, everybody said, well, you're behind on everything, but nothing could get started until they got everything set up. And I thought, how amazing that is to me. The Bible says that as soon as they got that up, the tabernacle was set up. Then the ark could come in, and the presence of God could be there, and everything could be carried out. And I begin to look at this, that Gershon, although was last, they were last in the treasure, and last in the tenure, and last in the attention, and last in the back of the tent, they were now never last in being trusted with the timing that they'd get everything done so everything could happen. I don't say this preacher. I talked to him yesterday, and I told him, and this is the truth. I told him, I said, I was going to tell you, I said, I sure appreciate what your church has done. I said, I know what it is, what it takes to have a meeting. I know what it takes to have food and preparation and cleaning and somebody get here, turn the lights on and get the air conditioning and sweep the floors and clean up after and then make it tomorrow like it's brand new all over again. There's a lot of people who've probably been here this week, way ahead of time. Get everything ahead of time. So when the ark gets there, we can set up and have service. They may not be getting all the attention. They may not be getting all the tenure. But I'll tell you one thing, you're not going to have anything without them. They were trusted with the timing. You take your Bible, turn over to 1 Chronicles. You know, there come a time when they didn't need the tabernacle no more. When they quit needing the tabernacle, they had the temple. And when they no longer had the tabernacle, guess what? They didn't have to move the tabernacle. Is that right? Yeah. You don't have to move something, ain't there no more. And so here they, I guess they, you know, you say, well, they worked themselves out of a job. I guess they don't have nothing to do anymore. That's not the way God works. You say, well, maybe I worked past something. No, that ain't the way God works. And you know where God's retirement plan is? Heaven. There may be a good time when I can't do what I used to do, but I'm telling you, there won't be another never time while I'm living on earth, God won't have me something to do. Amen? Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse number 21. You know there? 1 Chronicles 26, verse 21. Say amen when you get there. All right, the Bible says, as concerning the sons of Ladan, the sons of the Gershonite, Ladan, chief fathers, even of Ladan the Gershonite, is that right? Were Jehaliah. The sons of Jehaliah, Zetham, and Joel, his brother, verse 22, which were over the treasures of the house of the Lord. Wait a minute. They're over what? The Bible says there came a day when they no longer had to bear the burden of the tabernacle, getting those curtains there, and then the temple's built, and then all of a sudden they got moved from bearing the things of the tabernacle to actually being responsible for the treasures of the house of God. That blowed my mind. I said, you mean they got promoted? You mean God will promote you for doing things behind the scenes?
Amen.
You mean God will promote somebody who can, he can count on being there early? You mean God would say, you know what? You've been faithful in a few things. In fact, that's what he said in Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29:8, it says, and they that were whom the and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehaliel, the Gershonite. And so they took those precious stones. They said, you know what? If there's anybody we can trust, it's those ones that show up and turn the light on. And don't have to have attention all the time to do it. Don't have to be petted and don't have to be pacified. And the flags don't have to wave. And everybody don't have to holler at. You know who we can trust the treasure with? Somebody who does it just because it's a calling on their life and nothing else. We'll just do it because that's what we're called to do. And they say, you know what? I think I want to give them the treasure. Now, at this point, I like this part. But I'll be honest with you, this last part's where I've been running to all afternoon trying to get to. You know, Kohath's name means to be allied. Miriam means to be bitter. And Gershon means to be a pilgrim. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Not alloyed, not allied, not bitter. Just a pilgrim passing through. Not so caught up in the parade. Not so caught up in the tenure. Not so caught up in the treasure. Because they saw a better place where God was taking to them. And God trusted them with that.
Amen.
Can I borrow four people today? Brother, can I borrow you? Pastor, would it be all right if I borrow you? Can I borrow you? Yeah. And could you just come and stand right here? Brother, could you stand on that side by that window over there? You can come right here, preacher, if you will. I'm not trying to put you out of place. I just want to. Brother, could you get by that window over there? I need somebody to go run and stand at the back door. Somebody go run and stand. Anybody, just stand at the back. Spine. Perfect. Stand at the back door. Now, when I started this, remember I told you something about the tabernacle. And I said the tabernacle, Amy, you're fine. Y'all stand together. It's good. It was Moses and Aaron. Amen. Amen. Remember when I told you at the very beginning, I said how the layout was, is Moses and Aaron, they were to camp out at the east side. Well, they had a great call in their life. There's no doubt. God used them. There's no doubt about Moses and Aaron. What they got to do inside and outside that tabernacle, most of us could even just dream to. Honestly, Remember I told you who was it? Miriam was on the left-hand side, on the north side. There's Miriam, man, right there beside the curtain. Right there, right there. Then over on the right side, who were? There's the Kohaths. The boy got to bear the Ark of the Covenant. Man, they got the camp out over there. Isn't that something? And then here we are on the back side, on the west side. There's those Gershons on the back side. And it dawned on me one day when I was studying this, the first time I ever seen this. I got to think about the layout of the tabernacle. Some of y'all are going to get this before I do. They start coming through that. When you come through the gate, you're right there. When you come through the gate, what you come here with? You come to the gate, they had, you stand right there. There they are. They're camped out right there. Amen. And you walk through that gate and you take a few steps. And what do you come to? You come to the brazen altar where all the sacrifices are made. Everybody had to pass by that brazen altar. You pass by that brazen altar and you come to a brazen laver. And the object of the brazen laver is to see themselves as they were in that polished mirror of that thing, and also to wash and cleanse themselves before they could go on and do the service of the Lord. Amen. Sacrifice, sanctification. Amen. Then you got to the holy place and you opened up the holy place. And on one side was the table of showbread. On the other side, the candlestick. And in front of that, let's say about right here, that's, what was that? All right, the golden incense altar. And just beyond that was another curtain. And that was a place of the Holy of Holies. And what, but one thing inside that, let's say right here, one thing inside that, and that was the mercy seat. And that's where God met. That's where God met. The Bible says this. The Bible says, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 40, verse 38 says this. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. That's tremendous, isn't it? I mean, you just look at the presence of God with them. But it dawned on me that that Ark of the Covenant that was behind that holy of holy place was really the attracting place of God. When that cloud set over in the daytime, you know who was closest to that cloud? The one on the backside of nowhere. When the sun got hot and the cloud set over, there was one group that come under the shadow of Almighty God.
Amen. Amen.
Because the sun's on the east side. And they're on the west side. And the cloud would sit over them all day, and it would sit there and shade one family all day long.
I'm glad I'm for sure.
Ain't that all right now? All of a sudden, the backside don't sound so bad. That's not all. At nighttime, Shekinah glory sat down on that thing, and there's a fire lit up. You could see it. You could see it. You could see it. All Israel can. But the Gershons put their children to bed every night under the night light of Almighty God. All night long. It was within, I mean, a few yards. Because if you think of the tabernacle, you come right at the back of that back curtain. And here you are camped out with your family. And all night long, that fire burning. Your tent was never dark. The lights never went off. Every time. We think about how close they were. But the truth of the matter is, the Gershonites were closer to the glory of God than all of Israel put together. I tell you, sometimes we get really bothered because we say, well, we're in the back side of nowhere. All we try to do is be faithful. There ain't many of us. Nobody gets excited about it. We don't worry. We'll sit around and have a pity party. And I will say this, if you're in the backside of nowhere and you're in the perfect will of God, amen. Brother, I'm telling you, when you brought your children and grandchildren up this week and they sung, I got four little grandchildren. Boy, they have a heart. 9, 7, 5, 3. Yours started singing this week. Boy, they started singing. My heart rolled over me. Boy, I miss them sometime. They're in Alaska. Well, I miss them. They're on the mission field. They're serving God. The backside of nowhere. Somebody asked me one time, said, what do you do about your church? I said, listen, I'd rather have my daughter some far off place in the perfect will of God than living next door out of the will of God. I said it. You got to live it too. Brother, I was going to tell you, I appreciate you letting us be here. And I know maybe you don't feel this way, but sometimes I feel like I'm on the backside. Sometimes you feel like nobody can. I will say this very clearly. Me and my brother are not in competition. I have never felt competitive about it. Don't know you used to do it anyway. That's a waste of time and energy. He's the ministry he's in. I'm the ministry I'm in. There's no competition. And I will say this. There'll be times you feel like you're on the backside. And you don't feel like, well, ain't nobody cares. Ain't nobody watching. You know, who I report up to ain't nobody compared to somebody else. I have had people come to church and say, well, I know so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm like, well, so-and-so got in the same way you did. Like you come in some other door. I'm going to say this, preacher. I love you. I appreciate you having a church that really means what it says when it says welcome. I'm going to tell the church family that put on this meeting, that sacrificed to do it, and nobody saw what you do. God did. You know what he's going to do? He's going to trust you with treasures.
Amen.
Pretty sure I've got it.
Thank you, brother.